Open your Bibles, please, at the Gospel of John and at chapter 14. Start the reading actually in chapter 13 at verse 31, the new commandment. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will see me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, and that your love for one another, that you will love one another as I have loved you, that you also have loved one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John is writing here some words of comfort and cheer to his disciples at a time when they were filled with grief and sadness. They were anxious, they were distressed, and perhaps even disillusioned, because the Lord Jesus was about to leave them. And he would make his final journey to Jerusalem, and as we know, ultimately to his crucifixion on the cross. And so they were in a situation of some disillusionment. I think these words are so important to us today, because we are in situations of disillusionment as well. In the reports you heard this morning, there is opposition to the gospel wherever you look. We are in three nations of the world, and the world has somewhere in the region of, 132, 35 nations. But even in the little nations where we are privileged to be, Hong Kong, Cambodia, Myanmar, there's situations there that are distressing. Distressing for us, distressing for so many. You heard about the war, persecution in Myanmar. These are leaders of that particular tribe, and they are targeting missionaries, local missionaries, national missionaries, native missionaries particularly. They are targeting local congregations of Christian believers, closing their churches, tearing some of them down actually, destroying them, arresting their pastors. There's a Bible college that we're aware of there that has been closed down. Some more than 30 students. They have been dispersed. Many of them have been sent off to work as porters to the military. And they work them hard. In fact, they literally work some of them to death. And so this is very discouraging. This is very distressing. except for the fact that we know that God, Almighty God, our God, is in control. He works out his purposes, and he will build his church in Myanmar, just as he is building his church in Hong Kong. We first went there in the 1960s. It was a refugee city at that time, developed into an economic metropolis. And at the same time, the church, we saw the church developing. Our initial ministry was the old-fashioned evangelism church planting. And through the work that we were associated with in OMS, the Hong Kong Evangelical Church was established, 26 churches, every one of them today indigenous, sending out their own missionaries, conducting their own evangelism, pastored by their own Chinese pastors. A remarkable situation. And yet at this time, really under the cosh with these violent protests. And so it would be easy to become disillusioned, discouraged, distressed. And yet it's in times like these that we have the scriptures as God's people. We have the word of God, this word that we have before us today. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus is in control. And he speaks his own words of peace and consolation to his people. And he speaks it through his word. And so I just want to highlight what were these words of Jesus, words of comfort, words of cheer to his disciples. Even though he had been reminding them several times that how he must suffer at the hands of cruel people and that he would actually be put to death because he was the atoning sacrifice for sin. He had only one mission, and that was to fulfill the will of God in providing eternal salvation for God's children. And so today we look at these words, and I leave them with you. I want to mention six words of comfort and cheer that Jesus spoke to his disciples in this particular situation. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Have faith in God. The Bible says whoever comes to God, Hebrews 11, must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Have faith in God. We have a song that says faith in God can move the mighty mountains. Remember that song? Mm-hmm. Faith can calm the troubled seas. Faith can make the desert like a fountain. Faith in God brings the victory. Have faith in God. Because, as our pastor mentioned in one of his comments earlier on, he is our loving Heavenly Father. And no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly in righteousness with him. Have faith in God. In Psalm 86, David was praying a prayer to Almighty God. And in that prayer, he said three things about God. Verse 5, he said, God is so good. He forgives our sins. He delivers the soul from eternal damnation. In verse 10, he says, God is so great. He does miraculous things. He is the God of miracles. Do you believe in miracles? Yes. As we look at the work in Cambodia and Myanmar, Hong Kong through the years, just miracle after miracle after miracle. It's the Lord's doing. It's the Lord's work, and it's marvelous in our eyes. He is so great. He does wondrous things. And then in verse 15 of that psalm, it says that he is so gracious. He's a gracious God. He's long-suffering. He comforts those who put their trust in him. Have faith in God. He's our loving Heavenly Father. He does marvelous things. And then he said that also, believe in God, trust in him. And then he said, believe also in me. And he actually goes on then in verse 6 to say why it is so important to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's the only Savior. I am. He's the great I am. I am the way. And without him there's no going, there is no road to, except through him. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to God, our loving Heavenly Father, except through the Lord Jesus. And this is the message that we take to the nations of the world. We have a story to tell to the nations that there's only one God, Yahweh, Jehovah God. There's only one Savior, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that message we are privileged to take across the world that all may hear. Words of comfort and cheer. Trust in God. And if you are in a situation today in this congregation, if you are in a situation where you feel discouraged, where there's some disillusionment, where there's situations that cause you great distress, then this is a word for you today. Look to God. He's in control. He is at the right hand of his people, waiting to step in and take over. Trust in him. And if you do, then he comes and does marvelous things for you and among us. Believe in the Lord Jesus. If you're not a believer today, then this is the day of salvation. Don't say tomorrow, some other time, when God in his word says today. He's the God of the eternal present. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart against him any longer. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And so don't say tomorrow, some other time, when God says today is the day of salvation. Trust in God and don't despair. Believe in the Lord Jesus. He's the only Savior. And then anticipate heaven as your eternal home. I am going to prepare a place for you. And heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And Jesus, at this very moment, at this very time, is preparing a place for us in heaven. If you are a Christian believer, you're on the way to heaven. That's our testimony. We're going to heaven. We're not going to hell. That's for the devil and his followers. But if your trust is in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're on the way to heaven. And that's a wonderful message to be able to proclaim. And then he says, if I go to prepare a place for you, number four, I will come again. The second coming of Jesus. Do you believe Jesus is coming again?
Yes.
All these situations that we can, that we hear on the television news, the radio news, throughout the world. We live in a broken world. Look at the recurring situation now in Syria with the Turks and so on. Headline news. Hong Kong. Headline news. Wherever we turn, famines, floods, fires, things that depress us and distress us. Signs of the time, we say. When you see these things coming to pass, said the Lord Jesus to his disciples, lift up your eyes. The end is near. It's not yet. But we need to be alerted to the fact that we need to be ready when Jesus comes again. We don't hear enough about the second coming of Jesus. We need to be preaching that message. I don't know why there is so little preaching on the second coming. Because it's so clear, it's so simple, really. The Bible says the trump of God will sound. That's what we're going to hear, the trump. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, time shall be no more. Jesus is coming again. And then the dead in Christ will rise first. Those alive remaining at that time will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And we'll all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Mortal put on immortality. The corrupt incorruption. We'll all be changed just like Jesus. Because when we see him, we'll see him as he is in his celestial body. And we will be changed into a celestial body just like his. And then we're going to live with him. And we're going to reign with him forever and forever. And scripture says, comfort one another with these words.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Words of comfort and cheer. Trust in God. He's our loving Heavenly Father. Believe in the Lord Jesus. He's the only Savior. Anticipate heaven as your eternal home. Expect the second coming. But meantime, he goes on to say, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Make full use of our privilege and of the power of prayer. So often we don't have, because we don't ask. We're not in the place of prayer to bring him our sorrows and to bring him our fears and to bring him our heartaches, to bring him our tears. Just to tell him plainly how we feel, because he's ready to pardon. He's ready to heal. He's a wonderful Savior. And it's in the place of prayer that we can practice his presence. Just even through the simple thought. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed. It's even the motion of a hidden fire that trembles within the breast. Prayer is the simplest words that infant lips may try, or prayer the sublimest strains that reach the majesty on high. Well, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And that song says, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Everything? Yes. Whatever we ask. Yes. Maybe this is a good moment to say there can be a danger, of course, in building a theology just on one verse. Because people have misused this statement. Whatever you ask him, in my name I will do it. Literally to say ask, and it's guaranteed to be yours. We have to take scripture with scripture, haven't we? Whatever you ask, according to his will, he hears us. And we have an advocate, the Lord Jesus, who can present our prayers to God in a way that they are acceptable. And then he's ready to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think in the place of prayer. And then one final thought. Rely on the Holy Spirit. I will go to the Father and you will be sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, and he'll be there abiding with you forever and ever. And it's the Holy Spirit who will take this word today and he'll implant it in our minds and in our hearts. For you, something particular. For someone else, something particular. But write the application of the Word of God through the Holy Spirit in order to fulfill all of God's purposes for us and for his church in Hong Kong, in Myanmar, in Burma, in every nation of the world, in order to bring honor and praise and glory to his name alone. And this is the word of God.
Thank you.